Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in scripture is poetry. Poetry relies on imaginative and figurative language to expand on a theme, examine emotions, and reflect on who God is and what He has done. God's timeless truth is written down by biographers and artists alike. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please note, this is not the same stinger.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Which one is worse, sir? Representing the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program, our very own host and now judge. You got to change your hat.
Man, I got a lot.
Jimmy Hicks, are you ready, Mr. Handsome Hicks?
I got too many responsibilities.
You didn't expect this much work today, did you?
I did not.
Okay, can I do something?
Sure.
And then we're not going to like get matching pinky rings. We're not going to become blood brothers or nothing.
Okay.
But can I just speak well of you for a moment?
Oh, absolutely. I like that.
I got nothing. The amount of work that you put into this ministry is a lot. And you crank out. And when I don't know if I told you this. I think Jason maybe did. Jason heads up the Fortis Fellows program, but we had our meeting with all of the fellows last week, I think. And at the very end, Jason did something that I just like, my schedule. He asked all of the fellows, is there anything we can be doing better here at Fortis Institute? Yeah. And you know where everybody's attention turned?
Where?
To Jimmy Hicks.
Really?
Because it's being done so well. Rather than complaining about something or criticizing something, they were like, no, we got to tell you about Jimmy, man. He's amazing. He's always on it. We send an email and it just gets done. And he makes it sound so good. Brad Bigney was like listening to his own podcast, which is a painful thing to do. Nevertheless, it is. It's painful. It's trust beneficial, me, but ooh. And he was saying, do I talk that fast?
Yes, you do.
And he does. But then he also remembered that was the segment where he was like 40 seconds over. And I think you just sped up his voice. Because he said, I don't talk that fast. Did you speed him up?
I don't remember.
Don't remember anything. Well, you crank out so much stuff. How could you?
But do you realize that this week they are celebrating their year anniversary?
Oh, is that all of the podcast?
All, yeah.
Y'all, this is so exciting. These podcasts are taking off like nobody's business. I'm telling you. We're just, I think, did I see the number? Oh, I don't know if it was 30. I think it might have been a 30-day period. Greg Gifford. Okay, now, this is sort of like a King David sin where you're counting heads in the name, you know, to feel good about it. I just think it's encouraging. He added like 3,300 subscribers. Wow. These podcasts are so good for you. Please avail yourself of them. You can find them on Spotify. You should be able to find, you can go to Fortis Plus and you can see them all listed there. All of these guys and gal are absolutely excellent, and they are all driving toward the same goal that you and I would love Jesus Christ more today than yesterday. That's kind of catchy. That could be a hit from the 60s. Please avail yourself of these podcasts. You will be blessed. You will grow because that's what they're dedicating so much time and energy to, and they are produced exceedingly well, courtesy of Jimmy. Okay, I'm done. I can't do no more.
You be the judge.
You want answers?
I'm exhausted from that encouragement.
Well, thank you. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
Are you ready, sir?
I am.
Let me get my pen here with the big red marker, otherwise I'll lose track of the numbers. Here we go. Which one is worsest? Okay. You know, on the bright side with this story, it looks like the real estate market perhaps is rebounding. Oh. I'm a cup half full kind of guy. Here's the first story. Bishop Eddie Macedo, M-A-C-E-D-O. He's from the Universal Church of the Kingdom of God. He sold his condo in the Porsche Design Tower for $13 million.
Oh, man. Somebody got a deal.
Somebody got a deal. Yeah, I'll tell you who got a deal. A raw deal. All of the people who give to the guy. This is the preying of poor people. Oh. All right, that's story number one. Ready for story number two?
I am.
Story number two, in Canada, how's about that euthanasia? Medical assistance in dying past just 10 years ago now accounts for about 1 in 20 deaths in Canada. And just as everybody expected, again, thinking in the future, where's the slippery slope on this one? People feeling pressure to die. How many times have we heard this? Before euthanasia even became a thing, where our seniors would say, I don't want to be a burden to my family. No, I don't have to live with you. I don't want to be a burden. Okay, well, that same sentiment is now being revealed as Canada is encouraging people to take control of their own lives and to die on their own terms. And a number of people are feeling the pressure to do it because they don't want to be a burden. What a low view of life we have. That number is more than the total number of combined deaths from Alzheimer's and diabetes. The demand for euthanasia exceeds the supply. Canada's parliament legalized this in 2016, promising increasing autonomy and decreased suffering. Instead, the practice has corrupted medicine, threatened conscience rights, pressured the vulnerable, and expanded the culture of death. Oof. These people. This is again, I think the best biblical phrase is so that you don't have to use words that can be pretty incendiary in our culture. And it's kind of a foreign phrase to people. They have depraved minds. They've got darkened minds. They don't think rightly, these people, and they should. It's not like they don't have, you know, an education, all kinds of violations against the practices that were laid down. Whistleblowers identified over 400 issues with compliance, ranging from patients who were killed that were not capable of consent or they couldn't communicate correctly. And pharmacists providing the deadly prescription. 61% of physicians notify pharmacists about the purpose of the euthanasia medications prior to dispensation. That number should be 100%. Even more troubling, reported cases of providers expediting euthanizing drugs to patients sooner than the legally required 10-day waiting period. I was just reading another statistic about prescribing medications. It had to do with the kids and the ADHD business. That like the majority of them, like the really, really well over 50% number are diagnosed as having ADHD within 30 days. 30 days. That's it. In order to give a kid a drug that we don't even know what's inside of it, how it works, and what the long-term effects will be. 30 days, that's it. And most of it, quite honestly, is done sooner than that. When your doctor says, how are you feeling? Be careful how you answer. That's story number two.
So I just want to say something real quick. I understand maybe the sentiment of an elderly person not wanting to be a burden on their family. I get that. I don't want to be a burden on my kids when I get older. I understand that. But for any family to accept that, the Bible says, if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an unbeliever.
Oh, we got to get there's you want to get back to your list of reformation on top of revival. There it is, honoring father and mother.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll let that on.
That we're a society that esteems the elderly and that, yeah. There are sacrifices. Yep, it can be difficult. Yep, they can be agitating. It can be hard to live with somebody if they're getting a little crabby. I get it. But I think as a culture, we've made the decision too long ago to say, look, you got to live for yourself. And we build all kinds of facilities, and I'm glad that they exist because there are times certainly when they're needed. But for Christians, we should be thinking long and hard And I know that it might lower your standard of living. There are just some things that are better than fine wine. There are some things that we can do that are better than a Viking cruise. Okay, sorry, I paused because I really, really am intrigued by those Viking cruises. If they weren't, you know, like $10,000 to go on them, I'd be really intrigued. But there's better things than even a Viking cruise. And it's doing the things that are noble. It's doing the things that are sacrificial. Well, this culture, don't sacrifice. Everybody needs to give to you. Don't you give to others. This is another reason, I think, and we're going to be talking about this on the campus tonight and tomorrow with Dr. Greg Gifford. We're living for self. Everything is internalized. It's all about me, and that is not the pathway to happiness. The pathway to happiness is other. Why? Because that's the way our God operates. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. And when we follow in his footsteps, guess what? You're going to be happier. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Kreutz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood, real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We don't have time. We don't have time. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, story number 3, you be the judge. Which story is worse, sir? This is number three. Pope Leo meeting with... Why am I winded?
Said that awfully fast.
I did. I just didn't... I didn't know talking was considered exercise.
I could have sped you up, ass Brad.
Pope Leo meets LGBTQ Catholic advocate and vows continuity with Francis's welcoming legacy. Let's see how long that house stands when you try to speak out of one side of your mouth and the other. Well, historically, we believe it's one man, one woman, but we'll do ceremonies. Not marriages, we'll do ceremonies. Francis changed the church's teaching, saying that those actions are intrinsically disordered. So he stuck with the church policy and yet flung the door open at the Vatican. I think they just did an event. I might have that in one of my stories here. They just did an event that was... They said that we just put it on the calendar. It doesn't mean that we endorse it. We're just letting everybody know what's going on at the Vatican. It was an LGBTQ something or another. And people are thrilled with the new direction of Rome. That's story number three, Jimmy.
You ready?
All right, story number four.
Hey, how you doing? Great program.
Who did that?
I didn't do it.
Hello.
Okay, I'm a knucklehead.
Are you okay in there?
But I'm fine. Got a little intense, didn't it? No, that was the other sound effect. This is...
You be the judge.
That's... We did not... But I banged the table?
Ah.
I can't be doing that, apparently.
Yeah, no.
It made the thing jump and do the... Do not panic, passengers. You're perfectly safe. You're in the hands of talk show professionals. Story number four, Archdiocese. That would be Roman Catholic story number two. Agrees to a $230 million settlement. Can you guess why? That's right. Clergy sex abuse case. This is the New Orleans Archdiocese having to settle 500 abuse claims. That's systemic. That's one diocese. That's one in New Orleans. 500 reported. That is systemic. And that should raise, I think, a reasonable question. What is it about that organization that seems to provide such a hotbed for this type of sin to flourish? Story number five. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Quebec. The secularism minister. No, secularism minister.
Is that an oxymoron?
It's like the atheist nun. You can't. The Quebec secularism minister. Why don't they just call him pastor? Let's just go with that. Shepherd. The Quebec secularism bishop to push bill that bans prayer in public. Oh, that's cool. The premier has given me the mandate to strengthen secularism, and I'm determined to fulfill this mandate diligently. That's a country that isn't drifting. That is a country that is driving, and they're driving right over a cliff. This fall, we will therefore introduce a bill to strengthen secularism in Quebec, in particular by banning street prayers. You don't want those people praying in public now, do you? Seeing people praying in the streets, public parks, is not something we want in Quebec. When we want to pray, we go to church. We go to a mosque, but not public places. And yes, we will look at the means where we can act legally or otherwise. Have you ever been to Quebec?
Jimmy, I've never been to Canada.
It's a more European flavored city. Mm. It's a big city, so not the whole thing is, but that downtown area, that old area, is really quite glorious. They're just driving away from their Christian heritage, and they're not looking in the rearview mirror. You're gonna love this story. It's number seven. You ready for this, Jimmy? This one is slightly dated. I don't know if you noticed that whole Charlie Kirk thing. Kind of took us away from our regularly scheduled programming. Afghan women die in rubble after an earthquake because the male rescuers refused to touch them.
What?
From the Telegraph in the UK. This is a 6.6 magnitude earthquake. But because the Taliban They forbid unrelated men from having contact with unrelated women. The women were left in the rubble, or they had to run away, take water with them. But and some of them were going back to get their hijabs, you know, to be covered. Hey, Jimmy, would you please check the feminist posting board where everybody's crying out against this indignity against women?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Jimmy, you're going to love this.
Okay.
Would you like to know what I'm preaching about on Sunday? This is a tricky one.
Okay.
Jesus. Okay, that's for sure. That's the deal right there. It is going to be about Jesus, but it's going to be about women.
Okay.
Ask yourself a question. Why in Matthew 27, 55, and 56 did Matthew feel inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down that there were women looking on from a distance? Why? It's just injected there before you get to Joseph of Arimathea, the tomb, the priest, the scandal, the stone, the bribery. What is that doing there? Especially in consideration of first century Jewish culture and Roman culture too, for that matter, regarding the attitude toward women. That's a stumbling block detail. That's not what you put in there in the first century to make people perhaps consider your cause. Women? What is he doing involved with women? It was very countercultural. And so we're going to talk about that because here's how I see it. I get it. So this is what guides me, though, to say we're actually going to labor, I think, at least at this moment, on those two verses about women. A couple of reasons. Number one, 2 Timothy 3, is all scripture profitable or not? It doesn't just have to be about the big doctrines. It's if God put it in there, and he did, well, you know there's a purpose to it. What is it? And you interrogate your mind. What is it doing here? And I think the question that is most helpful, which is the second point of why I'm doing this, it tells me something about Jesus. And if we didn't do that, if we didn't ask ourselves how this helps us love the Savior more, then I think you could do a fine job talking about women and dignity and role in the church, the home, society, the picture of marriage, raising children, all of those things very finely. But if they don't tell us what I think Matthew is intending to tell us about Jesus Christ, well, then it's going to be a story about women's rights or women's lib or the screed against feminism, which I don't mind screeding against. We've got to ask ourselves, what does this tell me about my Savior? That's what we'll be preaching on. Women.
That'll be good.
And you know what? And if we shake hands with them or even do a side hug, that's okay. We won't be considered unclean. Unlike the Taliban's belief in Afghanistan, it took rescuers 20 hours to reach this little village in one of the really harder hit areas. When they arrived, women hid behind the broken walls of their houses after seeing the all-male rescuer team. One rescuer said, "We can't speak with the women or try to contact them because it's prohibited. Touching even a dead woman will have consequences." Ooh, girl germs. In another village, emergency workers carried away men and children, but left behind several women. Quote from one of the women, "They pushed us aside and took men for the treatment. We were left bleeding. No one offered help." That is Islam. This, in my estimation, is the correct application of Islam. I'm grateful for all the Islamic backsliders, to all of the progressives inside of the Islamic religion. But this is the Quran being applied because it's a bad book. It's a bad book for women. It's a bad book for children. It's a bad book for joy. It just doesn't produce joy. And by the way, I think that's Jimmy, I'm going to make a prophecy right now.
Okay.
America is, you're going to notice a distinct difference if you aren't already in the interaction with strangers. When I went to Eastern Europe, it struck me like I'm telling you, like an anvil hit me in the head. It's like, why are all these people so sad looking? So sad. Why are they so quiet in restaurants? Why is nobody laughing? You don't hear any celebrate. It's just quiet. You don't say hello to somebody walking down the street. Why? Because in those Eastern European countries where the gospel was stifled by communism for so long, people were robbed of joy, the true source of joy. Going to happen in America unless the Lord moves real big time. All right, that's story number seven, Jimmy.
Actually six, but that's okay. Who's counting?
Oh, me, apparently I'm not counting. Story, no, okay, so which one do you pick?
You know, it was between the physician-assisted suicide.
That's a bad one.
In Canada, but I'm going to go with the Archdiocese of New Orleans. That's horrible.
The Archdiocese of New Orleans, mm-hmm, with the scandal of 500 people that were molested.
It's, like you said, it's systemic.
It is systemic, and it is, I think, in this instance, a valid reason to ask some questions about the doctrines of Rome. With all due respect to Candace Owen, who thinks Protestants are stupid. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.